I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Welcome back, everybody. Actually, I've been gone for a while, haven't I?
Yes. Yes, you have. But you've been busy, man. You have been busy. Not only working, dude, but you did do a vacation in between times.
You know, Dave, owning your own business is like, I don't know. There's goods and bads, isn't there?
Yeah, I've done it before, and I know you're finding out. Go ahead. What have you found out about owning your own business?
Whoa, there's definitely some very good, very wonderful positives, but I wouldn't necessarily say there's negatives. There's just there is difficulties.
Difficulties, yes. And the amount of work you have to put in. It's not a 40-hour week.
It's like a 400-hour week.
I hear you. I went 3 years one time without a day off.
Wow.
3 years.
Wow.
So, understood. Wow. Understood. So
you're an animal. You're a maniac, and do you dance still?
Yeah,
babe?
Just you never dance. I kind of dance like Farley did in Tommy Boy.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid? Why?
You know, when he was being sprayed down from all the mud and the cow dung. So,
Oh, man, I got mud all over my boots.
Oh, I love that movie. I love Tommy Boy.
I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
So, how are things going, my man?
I get to brag for a minute, though.
Okay, let's do some bragging here.
So yesterday here in our local San Pete Junior Rodeo, my kid took third place in the calf riding competition.
Yee-haw.
Yee-haw. Huh?
I bet you were a proud daddy, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. And... you know, maybe, you know, taking those bumps in the rodeo arena can help him prepare for his pro wrestling career, too.
I know it can. I mean, you know, he's already been in the ring with Rekha Dahanka and Manny Lemons. And now, you know, he's got a little bull in him. And, well, that's because he's a son of guy's got a lot of bull in him. Did you get how I did that? Yeah.
Oh.
Ba-dum-bom. You know. Waka waka.
Yeah. Yeah. So funny, I forgot to laugh.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into professional wrestling, I want to remind everyone we have a special interview coming up in a few minutes with Bud Birch. He's a new wrestler, just starting his training within the last year. He's been in the ring a few times, and he's going to be part of a big promotion that's coming to my backyard in Logan, Utah, and it's going to be a combination with a couple of different promotions. A lot of Lucha Libre wrestlers will be in Logan on September the 3rd. We're going to talk about that event, how you can get tickets. We'll find out more about the Lucha Experience and more. That's all coming up inside this podcast.
Yeah, there's a new promotion. I guess, are they new out of Orem?
Fairly new. Yeah.
A lot of Lucha Libre stuff. They had some stuff going on over in Delta. Was that last month?
Bud was there. Bud was at that particular show, and he talked about that. And talked about how well that went. And I did talk to Manny. I was texting with him, and he says that between the two promotions, and they're working a lot together, they could do something every weekend in the state of Utah now, which 4 years ago, you might get one show a month in the entire state. And now someplace in Utah, you can maybe find some wrestling in the state someplace every weekend now. That's pretty cool.
That's impressive. You know, Utah hasn't been known as a super hotbed for professional wrestling.
No, it hasn't.
But we, Devotion Championship Wrestling has really put Utah on the map for a lot of the for being known. You know, they get a lot of those guys out of Vegas and Colorado, and God, they had some pretty big names here too in Salt Lake.
Yeah, they have. And then once again, you already have your tickets, I believe, for SmackDown coming to Salt Lake City.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be the same weekend of the Fan X experience, which is kind of like Comic-Con, pop culture, mm-hmm. and Kevin Nash is going to be there. Jerry the King Lawler is going to be there. DCW is going to have a ring set up to have some matches inside the convention floor. And
really?
Then we got SmackDown coming up. Wow, man, what a weekend it's going to be.
Oh, I'm excited. I think that me and my kid are going to go make a weekend out of it. We'll go up and stay the night and maybe go to FanX one day and then go to – or, you know, go up early and catch FanX, then go to WWE and then stay the night or something.
Yeah, that ought to be a blast. That ought to be a blast. And
so FanX is 22nd through 24th mm-hmm. of September.
And that Friday night is when SmackDown is going to be there, I believe. So
the 23rd, yep. Yep.
Cool.
How exciting, huh?
Yeah.
Dude, a real live event. I mean, SmackDown live.
Uh-huh.
I think there was a Raw here at the Delta Center once, and there was, I know Nitro came and Thunder came, but I don't think most of the time it's just live events.
Right. It's usually just house shows. So. And if you'll remember the last time that Salt Lake City had a Raw, Monday Night Raw, but Salt Lake was inundated by a major, major snowstorm that hit on Monday afternoon. And they were worried because the police, the state troopers, the Salt Lake City Police Department safety officials were saying, stay home, the roads are too bad, don't come out. And then some of the wrestlers couldn't make it into Salt Lake City for the event itself on that Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. And the place was sold out and craziness. It was unreal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was fun.
I think that, it's funny to me because it's something that, they don't really brag about. They're like, if anybody were to say anything, they wouldn't be a wrestling fan. But yet, anytime I go to Walmart and there's pro wrestling figures on clearance or something, it doesn't take very long and they're all gone.
Right.
So for people who kind of, I wonder if like, I'm like, I wonder who's, for people who say, ooh, that fake stuff, and so who's buying the action figures, right? Who's buying this stuff?
I think it's just you and me, isn't it?
I don't know.
I just picked up, my wife picked up an AJ Styles for me recently, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got an action figure I bought for you, and I keep forgetting to get it to you. I think every time I go, and you're going to hate me for this. Don't hate me, okay?
I will hate you.
We went up on an impromptu, we went up to Logan impromptu last week, and we went up Friday night and Saturday night. We got there late Friday.
Uh-huh.
And spent most of the time with family. And so I didn't even come see you. What a jerk, huh?
Family. You know what they say about family. Are you sure they have to be forever?
Oh.
The prominent religion in Utah, the LDS faith, has that as a little catchphrase. And I'm a member of that faith and just got back from church. But I always joke about that every once in a while. So, but I like that. Are you sure? Because we can see every little wart and every little thing that family does gets on our nerves. But that is important. And if you spend time with your family and wanted to ignore me, that's okay.
I know.
I understand.
I'm such a jerk.
Yeah. No problem.
I'm such a jerk.
No problem.
So, Dave. Let's shift gears for a second and get really into things here.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about, now that we've got the small talk out of the way, what the heck is going on in the world of professional wrestling, man? There's lots of news, lots of rumors, lots of things that, are unforeseen. There might be drama in the locker room at AEW. There could be some unhappy AEW wrestlers. There has been rumors that WWE is poaching AEW talents.
There's
been lots of rumors that people are unhappy in AEW and unhappy in WWE, and that Vince may not have really left.
Well, you know, this all probably all stems from when Vince had to resign, you know, went into his, I call it forced retirement. You know, I could have probably predicted all this, probably word for word, everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks with Triple H taking back over, Shawn Michaels taking a bigger role, John Laurinaitis getting fired. They found another at least $5 million that Vince McMahon allegedly has paid out as hush money to women he's had affairs with, and then all the supposed unrest in the AEW locker room. But give me your opinion.
On which matter, though?
About why this is all going on so prevalent right now, and any one of the matters you wanted to take up.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know why. Because there's so much going on right now that it's hard to know if some of it is staged, or some of it's kayfabe, or some of it's real. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, did Vince just say he retired on paper and he's really running things behind the scenes? I don't know.
I think he still has a role, but I don't think that he has control, you know, like he's had in the past, because look at what's happened. Karrion Kross immediately comes back. Io Shirai comes back after being let go on NXT. And then you get other wrestlers who are coming back. Then, you know, they made the big push when, I want to call him Skid Row, I can't say that, Hit Row gets fired right after coming to the main roster. They get let go. Sir Strickland winds up going over to AEW, but the rest of Hit Row comes on to SmackDown now and singing off key very badly, by the way, on Friday Night SmackDown. It was so bad. And I know hip-hop is not my thing, and that's okay. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, I just don't like hip-hop, but it was off key so bad that I just, But
was it supposed to be on purpose?
I have no idea. But it was, but I know what I like. But if they were trying to go for this note, they didn't hit it. At the very end of, it was just that bad. But with all those wrestlers who had just been released, either coming back or have come back or rumored to be coming back, I think that you're seeing Triple H flex his newfound muscles within the organization, people he believed in. I think that's what's happening, because they're talking about Johnny Gargano coming back. Tommaso Ciampa is now getting a bigger role on Monday Night Raw than what Vince was seeing for him. And, you know, he's not getting buried, although Max Dupree and that stupid male model gimmick, I don't know how long that's going to last, but I'd rather see L.A. Drake or Eli, you know, whatever it's going to be for him coming back. But to see some of these wrestlers and some of these storylines that have been abandoned, that are coming back, and then, you know, basically they haven't talked hardly anything about Brock Lesnar since SummerSlam and all that went on. I just don't know what, you know, what to think about it.
There's something just popped into my head. I got you know what would be so awesome to me?
What's that?
It'd be the coolest thing on the planet right now would be a beer money to appear on Raw or SmackDown.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Wouldn't that be so cool right now?
Robert Roode has not been seen for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, Dolph Ziggler is there. And when Dolph Ziggler made his comeback around SummerSlam, they did mention Bobby Roode, but they haven't talked about him in weeks. James Storm is still out there on the independent, doing a lot with NWA at times. I would love to see some sort of incarnation of Beer Money coming back, whether it was a one-time thing, either on NXT, one of the main rosters, AEW, NWA, but to have Beer Money come back, that would be awesome.
Oh, wouldn't it be so cool?
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be so cool? You know, it'd be even. You know what else would be cool? A Shield comeback. Dean Ambrose, but I don't know if he'd ever come back.
Yeah, I don't know that. You have you been keeping up with what's going on with Moxley, Mr. Moxley?
Well, isn't he feuding with Punk right now?
Yeah, when Punk broke his foot, he was the champion. He had just won the championship, and then there was a slip on the rope, and he broke his foot, had to have surgery. They did this interim championship that Jon Moxley won. Moxley has been saying that he is the champion, don't call him interim. And then Punk has been saying that he's the champion, and he's going to beat up on Jon Moxley. And then on Wednesday on AEW, Punk gets in, evidently, according to internet rumors. And once again, I always tell people, when you read it on the internet, sometimes you have to take it with a grain of salt, because it could be storyline and they could be pulling a big old bag over your head. He gets in there, Punk does, and he cuts a promo on Hangman Adam Page. Reportedly, Hangman and Punk have been not seeing eye to eye backstage because of some things that was said in promos leading up to their championship match when Punk won the championship. That's what the internet is saying. To me, I'm just going to let it all wash out. I'm going to enjoy it. One way or the other, I'm going to see what happens in Cleveland Wednesday night between Punk and Moxley and who comes out as the champion. Will that mean that maybe something happens with Hangman coming back and interfering, Kenny Omega interfering because he made his return last week? I'm just going to sit back and watch it and enjoy it. I wish more wrestling fans would say, I'm just wanting to see what happens and enjoy it.
But Dave,
what?
We live in the modern age of now. We want our results now. Just spoil it for us on the internet, and just then we'll complain about it on social media. Come on.
You know, and that's one of the things. I have an app that I have on my phone, and it's wrestling news, and I'll pick it up on Monday afternoon, and they'll say, spoilers for Monday Night Raw. I never open it up. I don't care. You know, I want to watch it and just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Are you that way?
Mm-hmm. I don't like spoilers at all. This is a perfect shoe into what I want to talk to you about next. Sometimes it's a little bit hard for me with my work schedule, family schedule, and Chris has talked about this too, to sit down and watch 6-7 hours of wrestling a week. Maybe sometimes even more. As much as I'd love to, maybe when I retire, I can finally do that.
Uh-huh.
So I'll try to catch up on a lot of stuff. You know, like you said, I follow a lot of news sites. I watch a lot of the YouTube clips, the Raw. You know, I'll watch highlights and things like that of trying to stay up to date. I mean, I'm always reading professional wrestling news, and because I always text you about, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? It's a little bit difficult for me to sit down and watch 6 to 12 hours of wrestling program a week.
Yeah.
And I think even sometimes you've texted me and you're like, wow, you know, you're like, I haven't even watched this yet. I haven't had time. You know, it's just kind of like after so many hours, you're like, okay, I love pro wrestling a lot, probably more than I should, but sometimes it is nice to, it's just like podcasts. Sometimes you gotta listen to music too.
Oh, yeah, and I agree, you know, I agree because I'm retired and I get to watch a lot of wrestling, and I watch anywhere 6-10 hours a week, and sometimes when they have the pay-per-views or the premiere live events, I'm going, enough. I mean, I want to get on and watch something else, watch a movie or spend some time with my wife, and you know, it just drives me nuts, and I say, that's enough, and I take a couple of days break. And maybe fast forward through a couple of things, but man, as much as, and you know me, I love my wrestling. So,
So a lot. So that leads me into what I was going to tell you about. I saw some news that the WWE is looking at. Okay, if this is rumors, I don't know. I did read it somewhere. I can't quote, so I apologize if this is fake news or anything. This is just me talking and rumors. I have no confirmation if this is true or not. But supposedly WWE is looking at possibly streaming Monday Night Raw and SmackDown to a different platform, like getting off of USA and going straight streaming. And like there was talks of several large streaming platforms being interested in carrying WWE products. And I know they said Netflix was a big one that was interested in WWE stuff. And I don't know if you heard the same thing or not.
No, I haven't heard that one, but you know, they have that deal with Peacock right now. And they have older programs from SmackDown and Raw, but they're at least a month behind on their streaming. For some reason, my DVR did not record SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. It just didn't do it. It was there. I just didn't. For some reason, it did not record. So I went to Peacock, and it was way back in July, the last one they had. So I missed that one from like 3 weeks ago. But still,
they're like a month behind on Peacock.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found it. I'll read this to you.
Okay.
So this is a pop culture website that sometimes shows up on my news feed called Giant Freaking Robot. So how reliable they are, I don't know.
Right.
It says the WWE is going through some huge changes since the misconduct allegations began to surface about former CEO Vince McMahon. He has since retired from the company as CEO. That title will now be shared by his daughter, Stephanie McMahon, and Nick Khan. Stephanie will also assume the position of head of the board of directors, and Khan will remain on the board as well. Now, it appears as if the long-standing professional wrestling company might be flirting with the idea of bringing Raw and SmackDown to a streaming service. One of the biggest players bidding for those rights is Netflix. So,
if it happens, cool.
I don't know.
I have cable, and plus I have a couple of streaming services. I am not interested in purchasing Hulu, not going to purchase Netflix, not going to get Disney Plus. I've got plenty of programming to choose from. They're going to have to do something that's going to make it worth my while to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to get Netflix to get WWE, or I just might watch just the pay-per-views or the premier live events that are going to be on Peacock because they're contracted with them for quite a while. So it could happen, and I'm not saying it's not going to. As someone who loves professional wrestling, I'm not willing to go out there and pay more just so I can watch one program that's been on free TV, USA Network, not free TV, but cable. I'm just not willing to go out and try to get Netflix so I can get that. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
That's an interesting one to me, because if the WWE already has a deal with Peacock, which they scrapped the WWE network and went to Peacock, I wonder why they wouldn't just stream Raw and SmackDown live. Or I guess I don't know enough about that, the contractual stuff, and because I'd imagine that's what it all goes back to is like USA owns the rights for Raw for a certain amount of time, correct? Or
okay, so who owns USA Network? Who owns NBC? Who owns Peacock? Huh?
Is it all Comcast?
Comcast Xfinity. Okay. Right? Okay, so
okay.
You think they're going to let that go? You know, it depends on whether Xfinity wants to, you know, maybe get a little bit more money streaming rights for their, doing something different with USA Network, whatever. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we aren't privy to, and we could make all kinds of guesses and all kinds of educated guesses or go with rumors. But at this point, when I see stuff like that, I go, okay, we'll have to see. You know, is there anything I can do about it? Or is there anything that Zane can do about it? But you are a stockholder, young man.
I am. And I'm waiting for, I hope that their stock takes a dive so I can buy more. They're at $70 a share right now. And wow. When I bought it, it was at 30. And so I've more than got my investment back out of it. But, you know, I'm poor. I can't go buy $70 a share WWE. Maybe I should just buy half shares or something.
I wouldn't even know how to go about it.
It's easy, Dave. That's why there's the, what do they call it? There's that app that I use, you know, the one you can buy stocks with.
The buy stock app?
No, dude, it's Robinhood.
Oh.
Robinhood. Come on.
Remember, I'm an old man, and it's technology, and I don't understand it.
No, I'm not one that wants to buy stock and all that stuff. Never have been.
I know what it is, Dave. Oh, my gosh, I just realized this.
What's that?
I single-handedly played a role in Vince getting ousted.
You did?
The last shareholders' vote that came out, I gave Vince a vote of no confidence.
Whoa.
It was all me. Everybody can blame it on me.
And we will. Darn. But you know, there's a lot going on right now with the WWE, as far as you know, their championships right now. They're doing a big premier live event coming up in just a couple weeks in Scotland with Drew McIntyre going against Roman Reigns. There's been talk that since this stuff has been going on with Vince, that now with Triple H and Shawn Michaels and them being more in charge, that they might go ahead and get ready to say it might be time to get rid of the belt with Roman. Who knows? I would rather just sit back and watch and just say, okay, well, that's interesting. I think the one interesting thing that you see what's going on with this event in Scotland or wherever it's going to be taking place is the return of Killian Cross. And he's not bald-headed anymore. He's not wearing gladiator outfit anymore. He still has Scarlet with him. He's still doing that little gimmick of TikTok with the hourglass. So to me, that adds an element to the upcoming Premier Live event that I'm going, huh, yeah, that might be interesting to watch, see how they're going to tie that in with this storyline. And after all, isn't that what we're looking for, is the big story and how things are going to be told in this story?
I don't know. Okay, so tell me this, Dave's honest, true opinion. We all know and we all respect what Mr. McMahon did for professional wrestling, for the WWE. There's a lot of people who don't, though.
Oh, I put him on my Mount Rushmore.
There's a lot of people who say that he ruined it.
No.
We don't need to get into that right now. My whole question for you was to just say, is this a good thing in the future direction of the WWE? I don't know.
Well, I think there's still a lot of things that need to be put out in the wash, as they, you know, some people would say. But to me, Vince probably should have turned more of the reins over to what was going on with the WWE several years ago. Some of the ideas were getting stale. We were getting the same storylines. We were getting the same thing. And it just seemed like, and I don't know if this happened or not, but it just seemed like Vince was wanting to go back to his glory days. And when Tony Khan brought up AEW, that it forced Vince to start saying that he had to have more of a role in what was going on with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. He was going in, changing the scripts at the last minute. Then as AEW started having a little bit of success, maybe not as much as some people think they should have, but they started having success. That's when Vince took over with Nick Khan, took over NXT, and took Triple H and Shawn Michaels out of that and changed it to NXT 2.0. That bombed, and then this scandal came up with Vince And now you're starting to see Vince getting out of the picture, Triple H coming in, Stephanie and Shawn Michaels, and maybe some others that are trying to right the ship. I think the one big thing that you see as a difference between the WWE and when AEW first signed on the air, it was this summer that the WWE announced they were going away from the just PG product and going to TV-14 like AEW. And I think that was because of the success with having bloodier matches, having more language involved, harsh language and curse words and all that involved with AEW. And then coming over to WWE, it seemed tamer, and that was maybe, that was kind of a reverse of what happened with WCW and the Attitude Era. Remember when DX came in, started doing anything they wanted to do, and how it created a stir. I think you started seeing that stir on AEW, and now WWE saying, oh, maybe we need to kind of have some preemptive stuff going on here. And they're, doing a little bit more adult storylines as we go. I think that was the biggest difference that I've seen between what's happened in the last 6 months to me. But I think the funny thing was USA wanting to censor the crowd reactions to when they were, going holy blank. And I'm not doing that because I don't want to say the language on the podcast, is that's what they were doing. They were just blanking out the S word, okay? And then they did it also with You Sucked. They took out you and they took out the sucked, And it was comical to me. And that's about the time that they decided that they're going to go with more of a TV-14 product. And maybe USA Network is saying, well, we're not sure whether we want that product. And maybe that's where your story about Netflix and all that stuff is coming up from. I don't know. Just a theory. Just a theory.
Well, it's a good theory, and it's a valid theory. I mean, I know that we're not in charge, and all we are is fans. We just speculate. We should get, I guess we should be more like some of these other guys who are like, oh, this is what's going to happen, and the dirt sheets and stuff, huh?
I get really angry at some of these dirt sheets. There's some on YouTube, you've probably seen them, where they're putting their little highlights, what it is. This wrestler is angry at AEW, and they might do a little 10-second blurb and, trying to get people, because they think it's controversy, and that's the way they get people to view it. So I've just given up on a couple of those sites completely altogether. But,
Hey,
why don't we take a quick break? We'll talk to Bud Burch about this event coming to Logan. Now, remember, Bud is just starting his wrestling career, so we talk about that and what got him involved in professional wrestling and how he's training with people like Andrew Sowell, Manny and Rekka and more. And then we talk a little bit about Lucha Libre style of wrestling and how you can get tickets to the Logan event in Logan, Utah. And we'll do that right after this on Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Turnbuckle Trash, where we talk about professional wrestling. And today we're going to talk to a wrestler. His name is Bud Burch. Now, Bud, before we get started about your career, you're helping to promote something from JP Promotions and Devotion Championship Wrestling getting together to bring an event to an area that doesn't get live events very often. Last time I remember a live wrestling event was a Little People show that was probably 3 years ago that occurred just around the block from where I live. But let's talk about this Lucha Libre Mexicana. It's their show coming September the 3rd at the Cache County Event Center in Logan. Tell us about Lucha Libre and this promotion you're going to have on September the 3rd with Lucha Libre Mexicana.
Oh my gosh, Dave, these guys are just so talented. They're very, such a beautiful art style. That I love the Lucha side of it. And to be able to partner up with AWA and to especially be out in Logan where, it, like you said, wrestling, we know wrestling fans are there. And we want everybody to experience this. So to be able to partner up with them and bring wrestling to Logan, I'm all about it.
Well, I'm excited about it myself because, as you said, the Lucha style is a little bit different than the catch you might see most of the time on WWE or AEW. Lucha is a lot of flash, a lot of costumes, a lot of aerial events. And I've been looking at some of this stuff they do. These guys are good, and you're going to have a tough time in your match against them, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Like, they're fast. They're, and like I said, high-flying. They are so quick to move. It's just, it's a whole nother game that you have to prepare for.
So tell us when the event is going to be held, and once again, where it's going to be. But we'll talk about this Lucha Libre Mexicana. It's a joint promotion with JP Promotions and Devotion Championship Wrestling from Salt Lake City, and it's going to be at the Cache County Event Center in Logan. Tell us the date and how people can wind up with some tickets.
So the best way to get tickets is their JP Promotions Facebook page. They've got the link there, but we're looking forward to September 3rd, where DCW will be working their way with them, and put on a hell of a show for y'all.
Oh, it's going to be a heck of a show because the show itself, if you've never been to an event that features Lucha styling, you're going to see constant action. You're going to see high flying. And I think one of the things that I love about the Lucha Libre style of wrestling is it's so ornate, the beautiful masks, the beautiful costuming. And they go into this very gymnastic style. It's really a lot of fun to go to a Lucha event.
Some of the competitors, El Oriental is going to be there, and he's just got this beautiful mask. It's intimidating how gorgeous it is. But and then Principe Celestial, I've seen this guy before, and he is a handful. Just the way he moves, it reminds me of Rey Mysterio and Sicara put together.
Yeah, you talk about two big names in the Lucha style, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara. I even have a Sin Cara mask in my collection. I know you're probably jealous of that, but
I am.
You know, a few years ago, there was a promotion that lasted, I think, for at least three seasons, and it was on Vice TV, if I can remember right. It was called Lucha Underground, and Marty the Moth Martinez from Utah was part of that event, and that's where I really started getting in to the Lucha style. On that show, you had people like Pentagon, and you also had Swerve Strickland, who's now a big name in AEW. Most of the Death Triangle members in AEW were in Lucha.
I even want to say Sammy Guevara was on there.
Yeah, he did. And you had, I'm just drawing a blank. I even have a t-shirt from him. Luchasaurus.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, he was there for a short time, and what a great performer he is. Once again, September the 3rd, Cache County Fairgrounds. How can people get tickets to this event at the event center?
JP Promotions, Facebook, the link is there.
Yeah.
$30 for general admission, $45 for VIP. Mm-hmm. And then any kids, $10.
Yeah. Well, I wish I was a kid. But and, right. Not, and, you know, the old joke is I'm not a VIP, I'm just a P. So, but, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. Once again, September the 30th, there it's Lucha Libre Wrestling, Lucha Libre Mexicana. Once again, tell us maybe one or two more of the performers that are going to be there from the two different promotions.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's Mini Halcon. I'm probably butchering this because I'm still working on my own Spanish.
Yeah.
But so Mini Halcon and El Oriental. Guerrero Fiorizo is going to be there. And then from the DCW side, we got Manny Lemons, cool. Reka Tahaka, and one of the newer guys, Slade, who's local from the area and just wants to show off his serial killer moves.
You know, I was just looking that today is Brother Chapman's birthday.
It is.
What a great guy he is. And he's held a couple of belts in DCW. But Bud Birch is who we're talking to. Bud, you wrestle a lot with DCW. I wanted to talk to you about what got you involved in this this world of pro wrestling and DCW. What led to this?
Oh, my gosh. Years of watching wrestling.
Okay.
It started when I was about 6 years old. I had seen Taker and Kane for the first time. Mm-hmm. And just... they captivated me. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I've always been the short stack. I was a small guy then. I'm a pretty average guy now, but I'm getting there. Unfortunately, the height, it stopped for me. So I could never be Undertaker. So I always pictured myself in the back, working behind the scenes. It wasn't until I started a podcast of my own with my best friend. We got into promoting one of the local shows here in Utah. And then we're interviewing one of the wrestlers. And he's like, show up and train. And then ever since that, I've been with Sowell. Andrew Sowell is amazing. He's a jerk in the ring.
Yes, he is.
But he's brilliant when it comes to training and pushing guys.
Well, you know he does everything just so well. And I've known Andrew for several years now, and I've always appreciated his in-ring work. And, you know, like you said, in the ring, you don't want to turn your back on him, but what a great guy he is. And I see that he posts every week on Facebook about helping with training with DCW. So how long have you been training, and when was your first in-ring match?
So my first in-ring match was November. It's been a year. I'm coming up on a year. I started training in September.
Okay.
And it was more late September, so my first match ended up being November. Mm-hmm. And I got put in a tag team match. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I'm currently involved in a tag team with Radical Red Matthews. We call ourselves the Forces of Nature. He's on the hippie side, I'm on the nature side, and we work together well.
That's good. So is your partner going to be with you this time, or are you going solo on September the 3rd?
September 3rd, I'm having to go solo.
Oh, well, I'll see your partner sooner or later, I guess.
Yeah, eventually. Like, you know, he's working on some things. So right now, but we got to work on our buddies and getting everybody riled up a little bit.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot that goes on when you put on a professional wrestling event. And I think people just think that they you just show up, but you know, you're setting up the ring, setting up the chairs, making sure you have the concessions all correct. And I know JP Promotions and DCW will do it right. So people that want to see this show will give you some ticket information again in just a little bit. But let's go to a couple of events that are coming up that involve professional wrestling in the state of Utah. One of those is Comic-Con. I can't call it Comic-Con anymore. Fan X, I should say.
Fan X.
Yeah, Fan X is coming up at the end of September. And then also the same night of the Fan X show, right across the road from where you're going to be, the WWE is going to have SmackDown on that Friday night. But at the Fan X experience, you've got at least two wrestlers that are going to be there that people might recognize. One is going to be Kevin Nash, Big Sexy, one of my favorites. And then Jerry the King Lawler. And I've had the opportunity to meet Jerry and talk to him, and what a great guy. And I've been watching. I'm going to tell you something, bud. Jerry Lawler is in his 70s, and he's just a couple of years older than me. I remember watching him when I was like in the fifth and sixth grade and going to the Mid-South Coliseum. And if you haven't met the King yet, you are really in for a treat. But wrestling fans not only have a chance to meet those guys, but you can meet the people from DCW, because you're going to have a ring set up and you're going to be putting on matches for people there too, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you check Devotion Championship Wrestling's Instagram, you've even got a code for you to save some money for if you haven't bought your Fan X tickets. But yeah, going back to Jerry the King and Kevin Nash, two very knowledgeable guys about wrestling. I personally haven't met them yet, and I can't wait to meet them because the knowledge that they have, and they're just absolutely great guys, honestly.
Well, I've heard nothing but good about Kevin, and then, like I said, I've been a big fan of Jerry Lawler for years. As a matter of fact, there was an event that took place in Nashville just a couple of weeks ago when, of course, they had SummerSlam there, and then the next night was Ric Flair's last match in professional wrestling, supposedly. And and then also was there Jeff Jarrett, Double J. And I've told this a couple of times on the podcast. I remember watching the first TV match that Jeff Jarrett ever had, because he was working for his dad and doing some refereeing and just behind the scene stuff. But I remember him having his very first TV match. He was tall, skinny, and blonde. I mean, this boy looked like he had sticks for arms. I'm not kidding. And now he's all buffed up and everything. It's just, wrestling is just fun to watch, isn't it?
It really is. Like, the emotion that it brings out of people, and it, even for me, just seeing that, like, I was fascinated with the mythical Undertaker, right? And he always reminded me of the big guy coming in to save the little guy. And so I always imagine myself as a little guy, and here comes my protector. And the emotion that it brings out of you, wrestling is great.
Yeah, and you know, The Undertaker, before he went on to that superstardom he had some struggles. I mean, he started off as Texas Red in Texas, and then Mean Mark Callis when he went to Memphis for a while. And I remember when he was in Memphis, and when he moved on, I was just going, hey, that's just Mean Mark Callis. And then he was with the Twin Towers with Barry Windham and WC in World Championship Wrestling, I think is what they called him at the time. He was out of Georgia. But it's interesting to watch these wrestlers as they progress. And I think now in DCW, you're starting to see some stars being born. I know MK Bandit has been around for a few years doing a lot, but he's starting to get his own promotion in Phoenix going, and Future Stars of Wrestling. He travels all over the country. And then you have people like Manny Lemons, and he's a promoter. He's also a performer. He's been on Impact Wrestling, also has trained at the Nightmare Factory with the Rhodes Brothers and more. I'm telling you, and you know, it's just a lot of fun to watch you guys as you progress in your career. I was at an event that Rekha Tahaka, one of her first matches, and now Rekha, she has really blossomed over the years and in a lot of different promotions, and I really can't wait to see her. It's been about 2 years since I've seen her live, and Manny also. I know both of them are just really, really good in the ring. I'm really excited about this event.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Rekha, I mean, she's contracted with Women of Wrestling right now. She's just, like you said, she's absolutely blossomed, and she's one of the top trainers for DCW, always pushing me to be harder and critiquing me for my best. And then, yeah, Manny, just the way he interacts with the crowd, there's a lot to learn from those two. And I'm grateful that DCW is around to be able to learn from these guys.
You know, that's the one thing that I really like what you said. You have to learn. And how do you learn? You perform, and then you get critiqued from other people who know what they're doing. And that's the only way for you guys to improve, is to watch your matches. I know you guys do a lot of film study after you have a promotion. And it's just something that you can't just say, I'm going to go wrestle on Saturday night, and then the rest of the month you're not doing anything. You've really got to put in some hours and some training, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, we train Tuesday through Thursday, and it's not a simple hour show up. We're there for 3+ hours, and then we're hitting the gym before or after. And then even when we're home, we're watching, like for me, I'm watching different wrestlers on how they act in the ring, different techniques. Like, I know Ric Flair's talked about punching a string in the doorway.
Right.
To the point where it doesn't move. Like, these tips, we're taking those and using them at home. Somebody cuts us off on the road, you know, we're not just yelling at them. We're yelling at them like we would, a wrestler would yell at somebody else.
Yeah. Wow. It's kind of interesting to find out about the storytelling, and there's a lot of different elements. People can be really good in the ring with their storytelling, but you put that microphone in front of their face, and they kind of go, have you cut promos yet in the ring with the microphone?
Only during trainings.
It's tough. It is.
That's one where I definitely have got a lot to improve on.
Well, just talking to you, you're very passionate about what you do. And I think that's the one thing. I've never been in the ring, so I can't say that, you know, that I know how physical it is, but I've just been a fan for years, and getting to know a little bit more about the business as I have been doing this this podcast for the last several years. I'll just tell you that I appreciate what you guys go through, because it is kind of dangerous at times, and if you don't do things right, you can get hurt. And I think that's a lot of people just don't quite understand that. And I've had conversations with people about pro wrestling, and once they understand what wrestling really is, then they kind of go, that's why, you know. So that
exactly,
get that moment going on. There's also another event I think we want to talk about. DCW has been around now going close to 4 years, and their 4th anniversary show is coming up in December. And boy, what a show this is shaping up to be at DCW in December. Tell us about that event.
Oh my gosh, it's mind-blowing what we're bringing to Utah. So DCW, 4th year anniversary, December 3rd, we've got Diamond Dallas Page, a legend in his own fact, alongside with Eric Bischoff, who there's going to be a seminar that Eric Bischoff is going to be leading for wrestlers if they want to learn more. He's willing to pass his knowledge to them the day before the show. And then on top of that, you've got Glacier and the NWA Women's Champion, Camille. And
and she is good in the ring.
Is she not? Like,
she's awesome.
And I think she just recently defended her championship, if I remember right. And she, just absolutely wonderful in the ring. She killed it in that match. And we know she's going to bring her game December 3rd.
And you got the Good Brothers coming in, former WWE champions, former Impact Wrestling champions, New Japan. They've been part of the Click. They've been a part of the Bullet Club. These guys are some of the best in the business as far as a tag team, and one of my favorites. Looking forward to seeing them with DDP. And then, of course, you're going to have Rekka. You're going to have Manny there. Buff Shea is going to be there, the man with the quads, the quad monster. He's been wrestling in the NWA a little bit. So if someone wants to get tickets for that on September the 3rd, what's the best way to go for that? It's going to be in Salt Lake City.
So you can hit up any of your favorite wrestlers. They will have the link, or you could go to Devotion Championship Wrestling on Facebook, Insta. They have an event link posted in any of their posts. You can see about the show, but best way is probably to hit up your favorite DCW wrestler.
Oh, boy, and you got some good ones there. Even the pineapple-clad Tom Chad.
So, yes.
Yeah, great guy. Another great guy. And once again, this one's going to be at a different location than your regular wrestling. It's going to be at Trolley Square right in the middle of Salt Lake City at 580 South, 600 East Salt Lake City for the Devotion Championship Wrestling 4th anniversary show. I've been in contact with Manny, and sometime between now and that show, he's going to be on Turnbuckle Trash with us. Maybe we can get Rekka to be on with us too, to talk about their careers and how happy they are with the development of professional wrestling in the state of Utah, which I'm so happy to see the success that Devotion has been such a big part of. And now, Bud, you are a part of that success, and we thank you very much for being on this podcast today, Turnbuckle Trash.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, do you still do your own podcast, or are you put that onto the back burner?
That's been put on the back burner for a little while.
Okay.
So.
Well, make sure that if you want to do it again, you let me know, and we'll do some cross-promotion and help each other out, just like DCW and JP Promotions, because if we don't help each other out, man, we're not going to be successful, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And you never know what wrestling fans out there that wants to listen that just hasn't had the chance or to be exposed to wrestling here in Utah.
And you know, another thing that DCW does I wanted to talk just a little bit about was the bar fights. You do a couple of different locations. Have you been part of the bar fights?
So, bringing that up, Doc Gallows, he was there for my first bar fights, and I will never forget it. Like, it was, I wrestled Brett Buffshay, and it was something I just kind of got thrown into, and I ate it up. but yeah, you're right. So, we do bar fights at Liquid Joe's down in Salt Lake. And then we just started, we had our first show last month up at Kamikaze's in Ogden. So we're planning on doing both, continuing both. But yeah, I actually just got done with bar fights last night.
Whoa.
I'm a little beat up today from it.
All right,
I'm a little slow to speech, that's why.
I'll tell you a little quick story about the birthday boy, Brother Chaplin. A couple years ago, I was at an event in Salt Lake City with DCW, and I was hanging around. I was talking to, you know, some of the people around after the show, and Brother Chaplin was putting up chairs and stuff, and boy, they had put that young man through the ringer. And I went over and said, "Man, they beat you up pretty good." And he looked at me and said, "Yeah, they did." And now he's so successful, wearing championship gold, being part of the faction with MK and more. Once again, a happy birthday to him. He's a great young man, and I've enjoyed getting to know him over the years. So we've talked about this show once again, coming to Logan, the Cache County Event Center, September the 3rd. Tell people how to get tickets one more time.
JP Promotions, they've got a link posted. It's easy as that.
It's going to be easy. It's going to be a great show. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 7. You're going to see wonderful costuming, and you're going to see some great action. It's a combination of Lucha and with the DCW stars being involved. But I am looking so forward to getting to meet you face-to-face and seeing you in the ring, and I wish you all the best. I asked you before we started, and I wanted to give you time to think about it, and we'll end it on this. If you had a chance to get into the ring for one match with anybody that's in any promotion, who would that be?
You know, I love the DCW crew that I have here, but Bryan Danielson.
Oh.
He is so beautiful when it comes into the ring. He's technical. He could bring the crowd in either way. Yeah.
Did you see the match on Wednesday night with AEW when he was against Daniel Garcia in the best 2 out of 3 this week? Wasn't that just one of the best mat wrestling? I mean, that wasn't high flying. It was mat wrestling, but told an incredible story. And I think he's doing his best work of his entire career right now. And I've been a big fan for years from his days in ROH and of course, through the WWE. But I just really love his ring work now. It's just really incredible.
It really is. And the way he's helping AEW and all those new guys, like, he didn't come in taking advantage of everybody.
Right.
Just he came in and he's passing on what he knows and putting on tremendous matches.
Yeah. Well, once again, we're looking forward to seeing you on September the 3rd. If people don't see you there, they'll see you at one of the bar fights. Maybe they'll see you at the Fan X experience at the end of September. And then, of course, DCW's 4th anniversary show that's going to be taking place at Charlie Square. Bud Birch, thank you so much for joining us. And go out there and get a belt and send me a picture of you with the belt, okay?
Absolutely, Dave.
Okay,
just
man.
For you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. And once again, the show is going to be September the 3rd, Cache County Event Center in Logan. That's at the fairgrounds. And we will see you there that night. Thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash, my man.
More trash is on the way on turnbuckletrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's got to hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
You did a good job on that interview, Dave.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun talking to Bud. And I like talking to these new guys, the guys that are just coming in. And he talks about, you know, his dream match would be with Bryan Danielson. Wouldn't that be a cool match, mm-hmm. you know, to say, man, I want to learn from this guy and get in there. I just thought that was kind of interesting. A great event coming up.
Well, and it's good to see new blood and new people staying interested in professional wrestling. You know, it's never too late for me. I mean, I'm 38. DDP was 37. So, you know, maybe I could get my start pretty quick.
Yeah. I think you could do that. You'd have to do it like DDP and start off as a manager. You know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of DDP, isn't he coming to Salt Lake?
Yep, on the 4th anniversary show for DCW. And also you get Eric Bischoff, Glacier, the Good Brothers are going to be there. Manny's going to be there, Rekha Tahaka. I think her name is Camille, the NWA Women's Championship will be there.
Ooh.
And she is good.
Wow.
I've been a big fan of hers for years. And it's going to be a great event. That's also in Salt Lake City coming up. We talk a lot about Salt Lake because that's in our backyard. And we're friends with a lot of these guys, so we want to help them out too. So if you're coming in from out of town, you want to get to meet Eric Bischoff, talk to him about wrestling because they're going to do a special thing with Eric. A little seminar, and then DDP and all these. It's December the 4th. DCW, it's going to be at not their regular event. It's going to be at Trolley Square, which is a beautiful location in the middle portion of Salt Lake City. It's a great venue.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I got to text Manny and make sure he gets me on the VIP list for that event.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to make it down? Or
going to try. You know, my health sometimes causes me some issues, but I'm going to try to make my way down there. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, that would be really good. That would be really neat to, you know, it'd be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they, book that and how they'll involve. I always find that I always do enjoy the little. You know, even if they don't have a full blown match, like when the Click, or not Click, I'm sorry, I've got, for some reason, we're talking about all this talk about Triple H and Shawn Michaels and all these people, I got the Click on my mind. But when the Good Brothers came to Salt Lake and they did some stuff in the ring, and, you know, it was pretty funny. And MK, the MK band, got got a big boot by by Doc Gallows and, stuff like that. It's always fun to see that stuff.
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the fun things about independence, going to a show that might just have one or two of the well-known stars coming in, but you have more of a chance to meet them that way, because if they're there with WWE or Impact or AEW, you know, they're going to have fans all over them. But if you go to a smaller promotion, that might be featuring someone coming in like an Eric Young. I was so upset that I didn't get to go see Eric Young when he came to DCW, because I've been a big fan of his for years, from his Team Canada days back in TNT. You know, I just thought Eric Young is such an underused talent. But that's the great thing about going to an indie show.
That was a botched move by WWE with him, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure was.
But there's a lot of good things going on, a lot of rumors, a lot of neat stuff. Tell me about a little bit about some of these other things that have been going on, like AEW and some of the stuff that's been going on over there.
Well, AEW, of course, they're getting ready for another pay-per-view. Labor Day weekend is when they're going to have their next one. They're going to have an event in Cleveland coming up on Wednesday night. That's where they're going to have CM Punk against Jon Moxley. And they announced that unification match coming up. They did that last Wednesday night. Speculation, rumor once again, was that it was because of the backstage heat with CM Punk and some of the other performers there. Now, there's also been backstage heat and rumors about a divide going on with CM Punk and Colt Cabana being upset because Punk came in and took the place of a lot of wrestlers who might have, you know, had a chance to, you know, move on. And we know that there's been a lot of legit heat between those two over the last couple of years because of the medical issues and all the lawsuits they're involved with Punk when he left the WWE before. But, Bryan Danielson still doing well. He's been off a little bit for injury. And they got that Blackpool Club, and they've got Claudio, you know, the former Cesaro, who is now the Ring of Honor champion. And what a great performer for him. Oh, man. I love seeing him have any kind of belt and just being part of that group with John Moxley, Yuta, and Bryan Danielson. And I just love seeing Claudio involved with that. And the one thing that the AEW has, they have a lot, and I mean a lot of factions right now. It seems mm-hmm. because they have such a big roster that unless you're in some sort of faction, you might get lost in the shuffle. So, you know, they just brought another new faction in, and they're so new I can't even remember what they call themselves. But Daivari, if you remember him from WWE, mm-hmm. he was there. And the former Harlan from NXT is involved with it. Sonny Kist is now involved with that that group also. So, you know, there's just a lot of factions with the with AEW. And I think that's part of the growing pains with AEW having such a large roster, then buying ROH, and there's still a lot to, you know, be put out in the wash. What's going to happen with ROH? I think they're still trying to figure out how to approach, whether it gets a completely new show or they still combine the rosters with ROH and AEW and call this an ROH event, call that an AEW event. I think they're still trying to figure out all that behind the scenes.
Yeah. I've wondered that same thing. If I know Chris has talked about that before too, about how doesn't he get frustrated with AEW and all the talent that they have and all the stuff that's going on? And I know he gets frustrated with that.
Yeah, you know, and it can be frustrating because you see. They had that big push for the Dark Order, and then, you know, Brody Lee passes away. They had that little push there for him for a while, and then they just kind of went away. Now they're halfway back. Some of them have been released. You know, how much can you do with a roster when you've got to have the stars be your main TV guys, and then how much do you feature your other stars on your YouTube events? It's mm-hmm. a balancing act that I don't think, to me, my opinion, that I don't think that AEW has done as good a job as they could balancing that act out a little bit.
Is that lack of experience, or is that, who do they have running those, like the bookings and the things like that? I mean, do they have some good, why do you think that?
Well, I think Tony Khan is more in control. You know, he's the main booker, and that's one mm-hmm. of the things that reportedly that Cody Rhodes got upset about and went back to WWE, that some of his ideas were being not really looked upon the way he thought they should. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you got to have a boss, but then again, you got to have a boss that listens. Does that make sense?
Well, and I could, yeah, and I mean, good hell, if it wasn't for Cody Rhodes, when they pulled off that with Nick and Matt Jackson, that was the Double or Nothing that they did, and it was just blew the roof off that place.
Yeah,
they put up their own cash, and that was basically the burst. Wasn't that? I mean, that was pretty much the start of AEW, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the, you know, the things that really got it off the map. Remember, there was that thing saying that they couldn't draw 5,000 people in Chicago.
Yeah,
and they sold it out within 20 minutes. You know, like 10,000 seats. Yeah. You know, so
and then they did Double or Nothing in Vegas or whatever, and that was. That was the second one. They said that they were going to try to do 20,000 seats or something, and it was a huge success. But that wasn't part of that wasn't AEW quite yet, was it?
Well, they came in shortly after that Double or Nothing, and mm-hmm. you know, then you know, we had about a year of AEW starting to grow, and then everything went to, you know, what in a handbasket because of the COVID outbreak. And now things are still moving along, and I think, as our friend MK Bandit has often said, and I think we're finding that more now than any time, you've got wrestling fans, and then you've got WWE fans. And WWE is still number one. I mean, you got to say that, but there is a substantial audience for AEW and Impact and other wrestling events. But you're not going to convince a lot of WWE fans to move over to AEW unless you give them reason to. And the reasons to do that...
Well, and I know the big thing with the WWE is the kids.
Right.
And I don't know if, like AEW, I'm sure that you don't see a lot of youth in their audience and stuff. You know, that was the whole thing for the TVPG era and the Cena and all this stuff was to market towards the kids. And I don't know if any, Impact and some of those, I mean, they're dropping F-bombs on pay-per-views. Not that I'm offended, but I don't really want my 9-year-old to be watching that. I mean, even DCW events, I mean, they swear and stuff every once in a while, which no big deal, but if they start dropping F-bombs and things like that, I can't have my kid there, you know?
Right.
And so, I'm all for the TV-14 thing if the WWE can make it. If they can find a good balance of not too much language, not too much gore, but still keeping the kids interested, because that's one thing I don't want to lose my kid is interest in this. Right.
Well, you know, one of the things that has been talked about a lot over the last couple of weeks all over professional wrestling is what to do with the blood and guts, the hardcore wrestling. You know, people have been making jokes with memes and everything about Jon Moxley. Just about every match that Moxley wrestles, someone's going to bleed, and usually it's going to be Moxley. He cuts himself and blades himself, and sometimes he doesn't even hide that blade too well. You know, there's one of the times he did not too long ago, it was so obvious, and, you know, he just didn't hide it very well. But there's an art to that, and I think there is a place for that in professional wrestling. And I said this to Chris, that I think that's where AEW has done a good job, is they have comedy, they have lighter wrestler, they have the heavy duty, you know, slobber knocker wrestlers, they have some hardcore matches, and they have a real mixture on their show. It's not just hardcore matches. It's not just dropping all the language every match. The AEW has used people like Orange Cassidy and Danhausen to lighten things up to be a little bit more kid-friendlier and younger people-friendly, although I still don't get Danhausen. But still, I think they've done a good job with that. But do we need, you know, Eugene and Doink the Clowns? And who knows? You know, they might come up with another couple of different type of characters that are lighter fare. You know, Bray Wyatt, when he did the Firefly Funhouse, you know, and that led to, you know, the Fiend stuff. But the Firefly Funhouse was hilariously funny, but still dark, you know.
Well, you make a lot of really good points there, you know, that's good to have the variety. It's good to have, you know, different promotions, you know, different things out there that if one's not doing it for you, you can always go to another one.
Right.
And there's your local promotions. And, you know, I find a lot of entertainment and enjoyment in the Impact Channel on Pluto. Probably every night before bed, I turn on Pluto and I'll watch a little bit of news and I watch a little bit of, you'll love this one. I introduced my boy to the Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel.
Yes. I love MST 3000.
Oh my gosh. I forgot how funny that was. Oh my gosh. And me and my boy, he loves it. He sits and just laughs and laughs and laughs at the robots and stuff and the things that they say. It's so funny.
But and you know, I got to meet, I got to interview Joel from MST 3000.
Did?
Yes.
Really?
At Comic-Con a few years ago. And if it's not on my daysvoiceworks.com, I'll have it on there soon. But yeah, I got to meet Joel a couple of years ago, and we talked about the MST 3000. What led to that TV Guide called it one of the top 75 shows of all time. You know, it was just a very cleverly done show.
Oh, it is pretty funny. I enjoy the Impact Channel. Every once in a while, you'll catch it when there's a good match, and it's like, oh, hey, that was a really good match. I never knew that, because when Impact was coming around, when they were around, some of the early years, I wasn't watching wrestling a lot, and so I missed a lot of those early years. And Impact, you could watch it on Spike, and then it went away from Spike, and I don't know. You know, that's one promotion that has just, I wish that they had more of a footprint in things. They had so much good matches and so much good history in the past, but not a lot of people know, or not a lot of people care about it, it seems like.
Well, you know, you and I talked about this when they were making such inroads, especially with their Knockouts division, and then they lost their contract with Spike TV, and then they just, you never knew what channel they were going to be on. You never knew what time they were going to be on, what night they were going to be on. So a lot of that went on with them was of their own doing, and then losing that Spike contract really, really hurt them.
Yeah, it's too bad, because they're such a good promotion, and I don't know what is going on with them a lot. I don't follow them a lot, man.
I don't know a whole lot.
I know they've got a lot of good talent up there, like Tennille Dashwood. I think she was wrestling for them, and she's her contract is expiring. I don't know. There seems you just don't hear a lot about them,
right?
Which is,
and that's because they're on Access TV, which is not one of the bigger channels. But that is also, Access TV has the Women of Wrestling on there, WOW. And who's one of the big stars of WOW this season? Rekha Tahaka.
No kidding?
Yeah, that she uses a different name on there. But yeah, she's one of their major players, yeah.
There's a Women of Wrestling channel on Pluto.
Yeah, yeah.
They play past matches and stuff, and so cool. Well, what else you got on the docket, Dave?
I ain't got none. Remember, I'm retired. No, right, I think just coming up this week, going to be interesting to see how they continue setting up this event in Europe. There's been talking about a new NXT. I think they're going to maybe getting rid of the NXT Great Britain or the England, whatever they call it, and make it more of a European promotion. And they've been doing a lot of the current champions and current wrestlers in NXT Europe have been showing up on NXT 2.0. So see how that comes out in the wash. And just a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, but I just want them to, like you say, just have good storylines and good physicality. And I just remember watching this past Friday night SmackDown, and there was a 5 to 10 minute piece with the Viking Raiders. You know, now they are heels, and they had a Viking funeral for the New Day. And it went on and on and on. And I looked at my wife and I said, AEW could have done the same thing in a minute or less. And I'm hoping that eventually WWE will look and say, maybe we could shorten our promos a little bit and get a little bit more action in there and maybe get another storyline or two into each event instead of having the same ones all the time.
Tell me the purpose for Raw being 3 hours long. I mean, how much of that is advertising versus content versus legitimate content versus story building.
Well, you know, I've thought about this several times, and I would like to put a stopwatch to each segment and see how much is promos, how much is, you know, just mm-hmm. the setting up of someone coming down to the ring. You know, some of these ring entrances take forever. Roman Reigns is now he's right up there with The Undertaker, taking forever to come to the ring. But and then how much is actual in-ring action? I'm talking from the time they get into the ring and they get the 1-2-3 at the end, and maybe something at the very end that is Matt is relating to that match. Not necessarily highlights from what happened 15 minutes ago, because they do that. They do highlights from what happened 1 hour ago. This is what happened last week. This is what happened 1 year ago on Raw. They do all that stuff, and I think their three-hour show is probably about an hour and a half of real ring action. You know, I'm just saying it, because they just take forever with that three-hour show, and I think it's because their format just needs to change, and not a lot, just tweak mm-hmm. it somewhat. You know, they've got all that talent there. They could do tournaments. They could do grudge matches. They could do, you know, maybe someone can do one of the, remember when they did the roulette matches where they would come in on Monday Night Raw and they'd have the roulette wheel and they'd spin the mm-hmm. wheel, and then you got to see what kind of match it was going to be. Stuff like that, that makes more sense, you know, that would add an element of excitement to what they're doing. And maybe they will do that in the future.
Well, I remember the impromptu matches too. These, you know, guys would be out there cussing this or that, and then somebody would come down and be like, all right, that's it, you know, we're throwing down and get a ref out here. You don't see any of that anymore.
Yeah, you very rarely do. Or if they do that, then Adam Pearce will come out and he'll say, whoa, you're not gonna do that right now, but if you're gonna say you're gonna have to beat up on each other, we're gonna have this match, and it's gonna be coming up next. You know, or maybe it's a tag match. You know, they'll say, and that's coming mm-hmm. up next, and they'll do a commercial break and come back and have a tag. They do these tag matches that's supposed to be these impromptu matches way too much, but I'm not the writer, you know. And I think that's where they need to plan things just a little bit better and stick mm-hmm. to the plan. I think I've said that sometimes they plan and then they change it, like Vince would change the matches at the last minute on Monday Night Raw. I would rather him say, well, we've got this plan for this Monday night. If it doesn't work, we're going to change everything and do something different next Monday night. You know, mm-hmm. maybe tweak a match, but not completely change it.
Exactly. I mean, heaven forbid you. And good grief. I think that it's great that Roman Reigns is, you know, finally found his place and come out of his, you know, where people are, you know, he's embraced his true potential.
Yeah, he has. He's doing great promos now.
It's like, oh my gosh, how many damn times are we going to have Roman versus Brock?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sick of Roman versus Brock that it's just like, come on, can we get, I texted you the other day, and when they tipped the announce table over on top of Brock at that
at SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, and I was like, "Well, that's not very original." Because remember, years and years ago, one of my favorite matches was the Big Show versus Roman, and that's how it was in a no holds barred match, and uh-huh. and that's how he won against the Big Show, and I don't know, it just doesn't seem like some of the originality is there.
When they brought out that tractor at SummerSlam, I was thinking that they were going to do something where they would take that front loader and put it on top of Brock or Roman so we couldn't get out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he'd mm-hmm. be trapped by that. Remember they did that a few years ago, I think it was The Rock and Mick Foley, one of their matches, where a door came down and he couldn't get out, so he lost the match. And And then AEW did something similar with that the night that the COVID thing went out, because one of the Hardys, I think it was attacked, and it was just, and their door came into play. There's just different ways that they could approach it, and I think sometimes they just say, well, we've done this before, let's do that. But maybe do that before, can we tweak it a little bit? How can we tweak it?
Make it a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because, there is only so many things that you can do.
Right.
You know, and so many original. I mean, professional wrestling has been, everybody steals each other's moves, and there's so many things. It's just like you said, that to putting your own little spin on things, or putting your own little way of how, a bull rope match or a dog collar match has been done a million times, but what are we going to do this time to make it our match stand out?
They could, if they thought about it a little bit, they could do, like you said, that there are very few original ideas, but you can take an idea and tweak it, make it look a little different instead of the same finish. So that's just me.
Yeah. Keep being it is still a beautiful, wonderful, exciting time to be a pro wrestling fan. And I don't think I'm going to probably drop my professional wrestling fan card anytime soon. I don't know about you.
Well, I'm retired. I got more time to watch than you do.
Oh, you jerk. Thanks a lot.
But hey, when you go to SmackDown, I want a full report.
I'll give you a full slobber knocker is what I'll give you.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
man.
Our seats are okay. We didn't get floor seats this time. We got we're just right outside the floor. About, I think we're 12 or 14 rows up.
Oh, that's cool.
So at least we can see the ring, and there will be nothing like that seats that you sent me that one time. Those were. That was a once in a lifetime, maybe not once in a lifetime.
I had
that
more connections.
That was a pretty doggone good time that time.
Yeah, I had connections then. Sure. I don't got them no more.
Oh, we need to change that.
I wish.
Dave's voice works, everybody. Check it out. Hire Dave to do all your voiceover and all your commercials. If you have a small business, then hire Dave for Dave's voice. Dave recorded a commercial for me in my business.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I got a lot of compliments on that. And they were like, who is that? Mm-hmm. Who did that commercial? Who was that guy? And I was like, I know somebody. I know a guy.
And I recently did some political commercials in the state of Wyoming, and some political spots in Ohio, too, recently. So.
Well, good for you. Hopefully Dave's voice works is growing.
WORX is how you spell works.
Dave's works. Okay, everybody. Well, check it out, and check out turnbuckletrash.net. There's not a lot on turnbuckletrash.net, but it is updated by Dave regularly with the new shows. And Dave, you got us out on Anchor, I believe, right? Which goes to multiple platforms.
Yeah, we're on Spotify, Google Podcast, Pocket Cast, Radiocast. I think it's about 7 or 8 different ones we're on now.
Well, sure appreciate you, Dave, and I hope you have a wonderful night. And that's a good time to be a wrestling fan, so keep it up.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
You're an animal. You're a maniac. Oh, man, I got mud all over my boot.
He's got a little bull in him, and, well, that's because he's son of guy's got a lot of bull in him. You know what they say about family? Are you sure they have to be forever?
Wrestling is great.
If you spent time with your family, wanted to ignore me, that's okay.
I know.
I understand. Sure. But it was off key so bad that I just,
of giant freaking robots.
Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen.
Remember, I'm an old man, and it's technology, and I don't understand it.
He's a jerk in the ring.
Oh my gosh, I forgot how funny that was.
Hang on, none. And you know, the old joke is I'm not a VIP, I'm just a P.
I know somebody. I know a guy.